want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to a wonderful Monday right here in beautiful Brevard County, and I pray that you are planning on having a glorious, glorious day. We're going to spend the next half hour today talking about the Word of God. It's vibrant, and one of the things that I really, really enjoy is when you're around new believers and they come up and they say, "Have you ever read this?" And you can tell that their eyes are being opened to the truths of God's Word, and you might have known it for a long, long time. You might even have assumed that everybody else knew it all along, but for them, it is moving from written Word to revelation Word, and it is impacting their life in a positive way. It is always, always exciting to watch new believers grow in the Word, and it's exciting to watch old believers grow in the Word. And so I've had a verse earlier this year that as I was studying, it was like, well, where did that part of the verse come from? It was brand new revelation for me, and I've probably read that passage of scripture a couple of hundred different times, quoted it thousands of times, and it had fresh revelation from the throne room of heaven. And so I pray today that we're going to speak a word that is going to improve your walk and give you understanding in God's Word. By the way, I didn't introduce myself. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. Yesterday, we celebrated the church's 68th anniversary, and we're excited from all that God has done in the past, but also very excited for what He is going to do in the future. And when I talk about the future, I realize this: I'm going to have to grow. I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to become more like Jesus. The opportunity is there. It is the will of God for that to happen. And so I pray that you will join us on that journey. If you don't have a church home, we would love to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. You know, I get people that contact me from time to time whenever they're going through a difficult situation. And for them, I'm their pastor during that difficult situation. But I tell you, God just doesn't want to be your God in the crisis. He wants to be your God all of the time. And we believe that the Christian journey is best done together. And so if you do not have a church home, we would like to invite you out. One of the businesses that helps make this radio program possible are the good folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. They're right here in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. They've got licenses. They got their license numbers down here. If you are interested in that, they can give you that information as well. But I can tell you that Wyrick Air has been providing professional sales, service, and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. They work in residential and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible and at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. If you happen to be out of the area and it would be a long-distance call, they also have a 1-800 number, 1-800-423-7424. That's 1-800-423-7424. One of the things that I found with heating, air conditioning, or electrical problems, and throw plumbing problems in there as well, they generally don't get better on their own. And so if you're having issues, don't wait until it is a major catastrophe. Call them early on in the process. Save yourself a lot of discomfort and enjoy the quality services that Wyrick Air provides. 321-632-9538. Today we are going to go to the book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah in chapter 29, I just want to read you a little passage there. Jeremiah chapter 29. It is one of the most often frequently quoted passages, although I'm not sure that everybody always appreciates the context that it is in. And in verse number 10, it says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years," this is Jeremiah 29:10. "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Now, if you move up a few verses to verse number 4, you would see that before that, God says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city which I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." The people who were carried off into captivity in Babylon were being told by the false prophets, don't even unpack your bags. This is a very short setback, and then we're going to go back to Jerusalem. We're going to go back to what was left of Judah, and we're going to be restored, and everything is going to be just absolutely wonderful. Except for those people were prophesying out of what they hoped happened rather than what God had spoken. And so Jeremiah steps up and he says, "No, this act is of me, and you're going to be in this place for 70 years. You are going to be in Babylon for 70 years. A little later you understand that it was so that the land of Israel could have the jubilees, the years of rest that the children of Israel had ignored and overlooked. And so God was restoring the land while they were away. They didn't realize that they were captive because of their own disobedience and rebellion against the word of God. And you would find that the attitude of some of the prophets were conflicted in Habakkuk. You see Habakkuk crying out in chapter 1, "God, what's going on? How come you're not dealing with the ungodliness in our society?" And God says to Habakkuk, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to deal with the sin of Israel, and I'm going to bring the king of Babylon, and he is going to take away captive all of Israel." And so you see that God's prophesying this in advance. Well, that caused a problem for Habakkuk, and he said, "God, I have a question. Why are you going to deal with the sin of your people with a people group that is in worse spiritual condition than the children of Israel are?" And God tells Habakkuk, "Don't worry about it. I've got it under control. There's coming a time where I am going to deal with the people of Babylon in the manner in which they dealt with my people. I'm going to address my grievances with them. And that brings us to where we are today in Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51. And I want to begin reading in verse number 36. It says this, "Therefore says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing, without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like lions' whelps. In their excitement, I will prepare their feast. I will make them drunk that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with male goats. Oh, how Shishak is taken. Oh, how the praise of the whole earth is seized. How Babylon has become desolate among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of its waves. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land where no one dwells, though through which no son of man passes. I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring out of his mouth what he has swallowed, and the nations shall not stream to him any more. Yes, the wall of Babylon shall fall." So what is taking place here in Jeremiah chapter 51 is Jeremiah is prophesying at the command of the Lord, and he says, Babylon is going to experience a great fall. That brings us to verse number 45. "My people, go out of the midst of her, and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord, and lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land. A rumor will come 1 year, and after that, in another year, a rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing joyously over Babylon, for the plunderer shall come to her from the north, says the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. You have escaped the sword. Get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind." So God has a prophetic word for the children of Judah that have been carried away captive, and that is this: there is coming a time of judgment upon Babylon, and when that time comes, you need to be prepared to deliver yourself, because you do not want to be caught up in the outpouring against Babylon. Okay? I tell you that at one point in time, God was telling his people to pray for Babylon. Pray for the peace, because you're going to experience peace. And God was merciful enough to place Daniel as a counselor and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in positions of authority. And yet, even though Nebuchadnezzar had a revelation of God and Daniel was used mightily, the nation as a whole would not repent of their sin the way that Assyria had under Jonah's ministry in Nineveh. And so God says, the way that they have treated my people, the way that they have treated the other nations of the earth, is the way that I am going to treat them. And when that time comes, you need to be prepared to deliver yourself. If you remember Lot's wife, Lot and his wife were told by the angels, we cannot do anything until you get to the city to which we are sending you. And when she got to the gate of the city, she looked back, longing for what they had left instead of what they were embracing. This is not a time to look at the things that you might be abandoning. I will tell you this, whenever God invites you to come closer to him, it means that he has something better for you in the future than you had provided for yourself in the past. God's never going to summon you to a worse quality of life. He's always going to summon you to a better life. And so he invited people into Babylon. He positioned people strategically in Babylon. But he says, just like in Egypt, there was opportunity for repentance. And if they ignore it, then I'm going to deal with all of their sin. And he tells my people, listen to what it says here. And then I'm going to bring it into an application mode here. My people, go out of the midst of her and let everyone deliver himself, listen to this, from the fierce anger of the Lord. You know that a lot of people do not realize that God is a well-balanced individual. It talks about his love and his anger. His wrath is as great as his mercy, is exactly how it's put. There's a balance there. He loves people, but he is not going to let ungodliness and unrighteousness go unchecked. He will deal with it. He deals with sin on a daily basis, but there have been times in the past, and there are times that are going to be mentioned, or we're going to talk about here in just a moment, in the future, where God says, time's up. The opportunity has closed, and here comes the wrath of God. A lot of people don't like to hear this. They don't like to believe it. They say, how could a loving God have such a fierce wrath? Well, I want you to understand that God is long-suffering. He is patient, but he also has a purpose and a plan. And if you do not wish to embrace the goodness of God, he will manifest the reality of what wrath looks like. In the book of Revelation, you read about 3.5 years into the tribulation that the wrath of God is poured out. Okay? There is a difference between the wrath of man, there's a difference between the devil's wrath, and then there's a difference between the wrath of God. Okay? Everything that you do is going to make somebody upset. Okay? I want you to understand that the wrath of man is a reality in life. You're never going to be able to please everybody. You know, it's just not going to happen. So you do the best that you can in serving God. You do it with love. You proclaim the word of God in truth and in love. But somebody's not going to like it. Recently, I said something in retaliation for a post, or in response to a post. It wasn't really retaliation. I just, there was a false premise that was put out there, and I commented on it. And guess what? Somebody didn't like what I said. And that was, in the church, we empower all people. Okay. Repentance of sin is not a thing to be ashamed of. It actually sets people up for success in God's kingdom. And we know that everybody's got to repent. I've got to repent. There's hardly a day that goes by that I don't do something that I've got to repent over. And, you know, I try not to make it major things, but listen, if God puts his finger on something and says he wants you to repent of that, it's serious enough that it got his attention. This isn't a time to argue about it. This is a time to repent. And so you seize that opportunity. So, you know, I try and minimize that, but as a people pleaser, it's been pretty difficult to adjust to this concept of not being able to please everybody all the time. On another hand, I hope that I do a whole bunch of stuff that really annoys the principalities and powers and the devil in hell. I just hope that he is living ticked off all of the time, enraged that he's not been able to stop the kingdom of God from marching forth and advancing through my life and ministry. I pray that there's a great deal of irritation and anger. I got no problem, you know, having him upset at me. Wear that as a badge of honor. But I don't ever want to position myself where I am set up to experience the wrath of God. David experienced just a glimpse of it, and it would have destroyed the nation had David not cried out. He thought it was just going to be 3 days. It was brutal. It was brutal. But he knew this: better to fall into the hands of God than into the hands of men. I will tell you this. If you will not live for Jesus when persecution is at a minimum and adversity in America is relatively superficial and topical, it's intensifying, but right now it is still pretty mild compared to other places around the world. But if you will not live for Jesus in those times, what makes you think that you are going to be able to suddenly flip the switch and be able to live for God during times of adversity? I will tell you this. The best advice is when you realize that you're at odds with God, is to realize God's not wrong, we are. And that we need to deliver ourselves from that situation and that predicament as quickly as we possibly can. So Jeremiah tells him, deliver yourself from the fierce anger of the Lord. So how are you going to do that? Well, in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse number 19, it says this: they throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their soul nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. Right now, there are people who have amassed tremendous assets, thinking that they're going to be able to ride out, you know, any current catastrophe that might come. So you've got very uber wealthy people who have these compounds. I've got news for you. You read the book of Revelation, there is no place to hide from God when he is dealing with sin on a global basis. There's nowhere to hide. And you're not going to be able to buy your way out of it. So how do you deliver yourself if you're not going to be able to hide your way past the wrath of God? How do you deal with it if you're not going to be able to buy your way? The armies of the earth will gather in adversity, at odds. They're going to draw the battle lines, and they're going to go and try and overthrow God. I can tell you this, that doesn't go well. There are numerous battles pictured throughout the Word of God described as taking place at Megiddo, or what we would refer to as the Battle of Armageddon. They all end with human armies being defeated. You're not going to be able to overpower. How do you deliver yourself from the wrath of God when you cannot hide your way, buy your way, or overpower your way out of it? It's not going, you're not going to be able to get out of it because, you know, well, I'm alive. I'm a privileged person. Do you not know who I am? You know, it's not going to be because of fame or celebrity or power or prestige or politician or celebrity or sports figure, none of that has the ability to deliver yourself from the wrath of God. How do we do that? There's only one way. And his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Anointed One. Anointed to be the Savior of the world. Jesus, the Son of God, the spotless Lamb, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. You see, we have got to allow God to come, forgive us of our sins, and change our heart. If you've heard preachers preach that all you got to do is say a prayer and you don't have to change, I will tell you, you uttered words, but you find yourself still in the same position that you were before. A true, heartfelt repentance means there is a stopping the pursuit that you were chasing after, turning around 180 degrees, and going with greater intensity towards God than you had when you were pursuing sin. That's the way you deliver yourself. You see, it is quite simply this. You believe in the provision that God has made for you. Isn't that awesome? That God, see, we were at enmity with God. We were at war with him. We were meant to be at odds and live every day at odds with demonic forces. But when we choose sin, we position ourselves against God. That, listen, you don't ever want to be the enemy of God. And yet, he loves us so much that while we were fighting against him, he's still working on a way to bring about reconciliation in your life and my life. Would you like to start this week off with on a victorious note? If so, why don't you repeat this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I love you. I am so sorry that I grieved you, that I sinned against you, that I offended you. Please forgive me. And God, would you empower me by your word? Equip me through the ministry of your word and through the saints around me. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, would you live through me in such a way that I bring glory and honor to you instead of shame? God, thank you for being my Lord and my Savior. Listen, you prayed that prayer. You're not under the wrath of God. You're under his love. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Okay.